Hello and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Lewiston, and I have with me in the studio, Nan Marshall. Nan, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Nan Marshall, and I am a jewelry maker who lives in Viroqua.
Amazing. Nan, you have been on this podcast once before.
Yes.
And so I'm excited to have you back in the studio. We were just talking before we started recording that it's been a year almost to the day that we had our first season of the Winding Roads Companion podcast, and then your episode was recorded. So we are nothing if not timely. How have things been going for you in the past year? Can you give us some updates?
Yeah, the last year went really well for me, and the exciting news for me is that I have now stepped back from my day job, and I am going to be turning my attention full-time to making jewelry.
That's incredible. Congratulations. That's a really big step. And so talk me through kind of what led to this shift and how that's felt for you.
Well, I had some health issues a few years back, and so of course that sort of changed my overall view of my life and what was important in it. And I'm not very good with stress anymore, and so by stepping back, I can reduce the stress in my life and focus on doing something that I enjoy for me.
That's awesome. That's very, very cool. And you were previously working with Valley Stewardship Network, is that correct?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay, very cool. So what do your days look like now that you are doing this work in jewelry? I don't want to say full-time, because I don't want to assume that it's full-time, but, you know, how has that changed with your studio?
Well, I do have a plan, a schedule. I haven't really been able to stick to it yet because I am still doing some final work and training for Valley Stewardship Network.
Mm-hmm.
But my plan is to, well, I first took a look at which part of the day that I'm most effective in, and I tend to exercise in the mornings, and then I kind of need a little downtime. So I decided that I would focus on having studio time in the afternoons, and then in the mornings, sort of in between things, that I would do that for paperwork and social media and other types of administrative work that needed to be done.
Awesome. It's super fortunate to have the opportunity to say, okay, how does my energy ebb and flow throughout that 24-hour period, or even on longer cycles, right? And to plan your creative work around that and to be able to sort of thread your different activities through that energy cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's really neat. And so are you still working in your studio at the Landmark Center? Or are you working primarily at home? What does that look like for you?
I'm working in my studio at the Landmark Center. It's such a great little tiny space. It's like a little cave, and I feel so happy when I'm there. I just go in, and I can shut the door and close off the outside world and just focus on doing one thing, which if anyone really knows me, they know I'm not very good at.
Yeah. Sometimes having that enclosure can be really, can be a huge comfort. Well, there has been a lot going on in the past year. I think, you know, that's the understatement of the year, is that there's been a lot going on in our community since the last Winding Roads tour, globally. But what are some factors that you feel have really impacted your practice in the past year or changed it?
Well, one of the big ones, as any silversmith might tell you, has been the price of silver. They sell silver by troy ounces, and probably in June the price was $24 a troy ounce for sterling silver.
Okay.
And it went up to $70 a troy ounce by, I don't know, September.
Oh, my.
By the end of the year, it was $110 a troy ounce.
Wow.
It's dropped down a little bit now. It's kind of bouncing around $90 a troy ounce.
Mm-hmm.
But that has really freaked out a lot of jewelry artists because it's a huge change. So I guess one way to look at it, I think, though, is an opportunity. You know, because you can, you know, we're theoretically creative people, and so
yeah.
One of the things I realized is that Big flat pieces of metal are very, very, very expensive. And so one shift is to try to use maybe wire or less metal, however you need to do it to make your pieces. And oddly, before the big gems were seemed really expensive, but now they can be featured easily because they're so much less expensive than the silver.
Okay. Yeah, that's really neat. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit more about visually or aesthetically how your pieces have changed kind of as a result of this. But I'm also very, very interested in understanding, you know, how generally you price your pieces, right? What are the things that you think about when you establish a price for a piece? And how has that shifted with this latest market shift, if at all?
I guess the pricing is kind of the same. You know, what I do is I add up the materials for each piece I make. And then you have to add in extra that covers things like my studio rental and supplies, like the butane I use, or replaceable parts, components that I use throughout the process. But usually there, you know, usually you may multiply by a certain number to come up with your price. But now that price seems a bit high. So then you have to kind of take a look at what might be a realistic price for your product. And then if you're putting your work in galleries, there's a commission that gets taken out from the price that you sell your object for. And I don't know, now it does look a little grim. I definitely am not making much from what I, you know, the price that I'm selling things at.
Sure, your margin is slimmer.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if I sell things in person at art fairs, then I don't lose the commission. So that's, you know, there are a lot of things to consider now with this change. You know, what materials do I use? So I'm looking at titanium, which is also a silvery colored metal, but it can also be changed to different colors when you introduce electricity to it.
Well, that's exciting.
it's a little different.
It's a new technique, though, I would imagine, right? And so this, I can't help but see the price. You know, you think about on the face of it, the price of silver shifting, like, oh no, right? But then as you're talking, and perhaps it's the attitude that you're bringing to this as well, I can't help but see opportunity within that just market trend.
True.
Right? Yes. That you are, as a creative person and as an artist, saying, okay, well, if I'm just using silver, then this price is too high, my margin's too slim. How can I solve that problem? And how can I work within the constraint of the price of silver by introducing new materials, learning a new technique, featuring other materials more prominently, using wire instead of flat pieces? It feels to me like that is sort of a cascading set of opportunities or possibilities. Is that how it feels to you, or does it feel a little bit more anxious?
I certainly feel anxiety, but it does feel like, you know, an opportunity as well. However, to be fair, I have to clarify that I am not supporting myself through my business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously hoping to make money and cover my costs. But I would say the situation is more dire for people who are actually supporting themselves solely with their jewelry business.
Absolutely.
But definitely there, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about things to do and solutions, and people are all, you know, leaping in with 2 feet and trying to see how they can make the best of it.
Yeah. Have you been speaking with other silversmiths and other jewelry makers about this? Or is this, you know, are these issues that you are just finding in your own context and finding solutions
It's a topic. It's their panel discussions, and people are posting their solutions and ideas, and it's the topic.
Okay. And so if you were to follow jewelry makers on social media, for instance, like, you would be seeing a lot of this?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, that is, I mean, honestly, it feels like a headline for the past year in terms of your craft and the work that you do, especially in the wake of sort of semi-retirement or like moving into this full time. I imagine that, did that take place before or after that pricing shift?
I had made the decision to make the change before the pricing shift.
Okay.
So it is kind of humorous that
right.
it's all happening right now.
Yeah. I can imagine that that would feel a little bit like a joke from the universe.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, you're saying like, hey, here's my intention. And the universe is like, great. I'm going to toss this your way and see how you work with it. Yeah, very interesting. So I have been following you on Instagram for a while now, at least a year. And I have noticed that you've had some really cool events and opportunities come your way, either showing your work or attending different classes or trainings. And I also happen to know that you had a really cool trip to Japan over the past year as well. Would you care to just give our listeners just some more details on any of the big events in your life in the last year?
Sure. One of the fun things is I'm a member of Wisconsin Craft, and they had an exhibition in Milwaukee at Alverno College.
Okay.
And their show was called Collaborative Work, Creative Playground.
Ooh.
And so it was an opportunity for two artists to work together to create something. And so I worked together with potter Charna Schwartz, a local potter, who's also going to be on the Winding Roads tour.
Yeah.
And she created a pottery piece, and we had to discuss placing holes in it because I needed to attach things to it that went through the holes.
Oh, very cool.
And then I adorned the pottery piece, and it got accepted into the show in Milwaukee, which is ending this weekend.
Wow, that's really cool.
So that was really exciting for both of us to have that opportunity and do something different, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the collaborative process is very different than working on your own.
Oh, yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
We had done something similar once before that was fairly successful. So, but it was kind of fun to do something totally different.
Yeah.
I like to think of jewelry is kind of mini sculptures, or at least the kind of jewelry I make.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to do something that was bigger and sculptural.
Yeah. But then also on, you know, as a mini sculpture, it also adorns a like three-dimensional form. And how interesting to have a completely different three-dimensional form to consider adorning, right? I would imagine that working with, because clay in its raw form is moldable, sculptable. But after it's fired and after it is set, it is the shape that it is,
right?
It's not like a human body that moves and shifts, right? Or, you know, you have an earring that dangles from the ear and that could have a different movement depending on the person that wears it. But like working with pottery as sort of a static three-dimensional shape, it feels to me like that would be a really cool challenge.
Yeah, that all those things are true that you mentioned. And with this particular piece, there's kind of a long story behind it, but the pottery piece was created a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it had a different intent for it. But at this time, we took it in a different direction. But there was no way to change where the holes were.
And yeah.
So they were what they were, so I had to work with what was there. And again, it was a challenge and an opportunity.
Yeah. How many artists or pieces were featured in that gallery show?
Oh, there must have been about 40 or 45 or so.
Very cool.
All different media, too.
People across the state?
Yes.
Okay. Very nice. Was there anybody else from the Driftless region in that area?
Not that I'm aware of.
Wow.
I mean, there were people from Madison all, but I wasn't aware of anyone from right around here.
Well, thanks for bringing your work to that. That's very cool. Yeah. And do you also have work in Viva right now?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I'm a member of Viva, which mm-hmm. is an artist cooperative, and so I have work there mm-hmm. all the time.
Yep. Right here on Main Street in Viroqua.
Yes, thank you. And I also have work in a couple other galleries. I have some in the Lanesboro Art Gallery in Minnesota, mm-hmm. In the Long Branch Gallery in Mineral Point.
Okay.
And in the Paoli Road Mercantile in Paoli. I think I said that incorrectly.
I don't know where that is. Is that also in Wisconsin?
Yes, it's somewhere near Madison, sort of like a half hour away. Okay. I've just followed Google to get there.
Yeah.
I know the general direction.
That's fair. Well, and I, especially in this region, it feels like you try to say the name of a town and someone's like, no, it is not. It doesn't sound how it's spelled. It's, you know, Muscoda versus Muscadet, that kind of thing. You're like, how did this come to be? So let's talk a little bit more specifically about Winding Roads. It's the 10th anniversary. We're very excited about 10 years of this really cool studio tour here in the Driftless. And remind our listeners how many years you've been a part of the Winding Roads Art Tour.
I know I was participated 1 year before COVID hit.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it's been since maybe 2022.
Okay.
So probably maybe 6 years total or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Fabulous. And your tour stop... I can't remember what number it is.
Lucky number 13.
Hey, there you go. Okay. And last year it was at your home. Is it at your home again this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Fabulous. My studio is very, very small. So sure. If it were me and one other person in there, that would be full.
Mm-hmm. And so you're a host tour stop, and are you hosting a guest?
Yes. Becky Biesterfeld. She's a fabulous fiber artist, and she does many different types of fiber work, mainly clothing. She recycles, upcycles clothing. Mm-hmm. She does shibori dyeing, felting. She does braided rugs, mm-hmm. All kinds of things.
Amazing.
Every time she has something totally different.
That's very cool. And I don't believe Becky was not in the tour last year.
No, but she wasn't.
Okay. And so is she new, or is she like returning after a hiatus?
No, I think she's new to the tour, but fabulous. She's been a longtime fiber artist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am really excited to see the juxtaposition of your work with Becky's work. It feels like a very fun opportunity to pair, upcycled clothing, accessories, things that adorn the body with textile, and then also things that adorn the body with metal work and gems and things of that nature. So seems like a perfect combination to me.
I'm hoping so. Yeah, one of the nice things about the tour is that over the years, we have more and more people who return each year and mm-hmm. who actually plan for spending the weekend in Viroqua. You know, they...
You're talking about the patrons.
Yes, the patrons. Mm-hmm. You know, they reserve a room at the Fortney and dinner at the Driftless. And really, if the weather's usually been really beautiful then, so they can have a great time driving around our beautiful valleys. So I'm really looking forward to meeting all those people again.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to hit up Mapledale Road, tour stop number 13, and go and see Nan Marshall and Becky. The weekend of the 13th and 14th of June, second weekend in June. Looking forward to another wonderful tour. Nan, is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience as we kind of wrap this up?
Well, you did mention my going to Japan, and I just wanted to say that was a very inspirational trip. I was very fortunate, and we saw a lot of great art there. So I'm hoping to incorporate that into some of the ideas I use going forward.
Oh, fabulous. And hopefully we'll be able to see some of that on the tour.
I hope so.
Wonderful. Well, Nan, thank you so much for being here in the studio with me.
Thank you.